is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are going to have a brief discussion of FIBA Team USA games heading into tomorrow morning, which by the time you listen to may have been this previous morning's game against the French national team. Let's look back first, Jay, at the previous two FIBA games. First one with Greece, and obviously playing the Antetokounmpo family. There was a little bit of a dust up, when Giannis's brother fouled Harrison Barnes a little bit hard on a breakaway layup, and some members of Team USA took exception to that, particularly Jaylen Brown. So that was kind of an interesting development. It seemed like that game, I think going into it, people maybe thought that I think Greece, probably if you look at this whole tournament and where people thought things were going to break out, it seems like Greece may have underperformed and that they may have overcoached the Greek team and not gotten Giannis maybe as involved as other people might have wanted him to be.
Yeah, I just don't quite get – you've got the MVP of the NBA, and he just didn't seem like he fit at all. Now, once again, I will reiterate, I have not watched any of the games other than the clips on Twitter because of the fantastic fact that it's been on ESPN Plus until tomorrow's game. So I haven't been able to watch a minute of the games. It's weird to me that he was not seeming to perform at a high level considering his season.
Weird that they didn't obviously feature him in the offense and just tailor everything to maximize his skill set. That was pretty interesting.
Yeah, like you think that they would come in saying, well, he's the MVP, let's put our whole system around him instead of being like, oh, we'll put him into our system and he'll work out for us. Like, you think they would try to do something, because obviously he's the best player, theoretically the best player in the tournament, and he just didn't play like it at all.
Yeah, it was a very strange performance from him and the Greek national team, and obviously Team USA got by them in that game, and then they moved on to their next game, and they were able to knock off Brazil and Anderson Varejão and Leandro Barbosa.
Which, by the way, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but did you see that he said that if the Cavs wanted him back, he'd be happy to come back to Cleveland and play this year?
Okay, so there's some interesting just overall things that Varejão is – I don't know what the overall stats are in the tournament, but I looked at a couple box scores here as we were kind of preparing for this, and he was – if not number one, then number two in minutes in every one of the games. And he was the first or second leading scorer in every game.
He's got to be one of the oldest guys out there, right?
You would have to think. I mean, I know some of these guys from these European countries are maybe a little bit older than some of our players for sure. But the fact that, I mean, you and I, again, when we first looked at it, we didn't even realize that he was still playing at all, let alone playing at what is seemingly a high level in scoring. So I'm stunned that he's playing as well as he is. And then the other thing is, I was looking at our potential opponent who knocked off the Serbians, who were maybe the tournament favorite going in, Argentina. I'm like, all right, who's on Argentina's roster? And the guy who's leading Argentina, which is their only recognizable name, at least from my limited knowledge of FIBA basketball, can you name who that player is for Argentina?
No.
Do you care to hazard a guess? Are you just going to go with the flat out no? I thought maybe we'd get some humor value out of your guess.
Darko Milicic? I mean, he's not Argentinian. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have any clue. I really don't.
Luis Scola.
Oh, God.
Luis Scola. Guess how old Luis Scola is.
He's got to be 42.
39. 39-year-old Luis Scola was their second-leading scorer but played the most minutes in their game against Serbia. So he's really the last holdout kind of that original group that won the Olympics whatever year that was back in with Manu and that group. So Scola had 21 against the Serbians. He had 20 points, played 30 minutes and 36 seconds in that game. So watch out, U.S. Luis Scola is coming for you.
I just can't see. Well, we got to get through Got to get through the first game here. We got to beat France, Mike.
Got to beat France. So France has four. France has four NBA players. They have some guys who have some legitimate claims to being NBA basketball players. So they have Gobert. They have Evan Fournier, who's been solid, not great, but certainly.
Is he still on the Magic?
He's still on the Magic. Yeah, he's still on the Magic, and he's relatively young. I don't know how old he is, but he's still in his, I'd say, mid to late 20s. Okay. And then they also have Nicholas Batum, and then they have Frankie Smokes. So three guys who are NBA players. So it should be – I don't think that game you can't look at it as a walkover. I was reading something online today that Brooke Lopez may be the key to be able to pull Rudy Gobert out away from the basket.
Oh, dear Lord.
Does that mean he's
getting minutes tomorrow?
Well, I'm like, why don't we just play a guy who's smaller? It seems like you could find somebody else who can shoot threes. But the idea was that Lopez, when the Bucks played the Jazz this past year, Lopez played really well in both games and pulled Gobert out away from the basket, and that kind of neutralized his shot blocking and interior presence. But who knows? It'll be interesting.
I'm excited, Mike. I mean, my school day starts at 7:40. However, this game is on ESPN News, so I will – my plan, this is ambitious, I'm going to try to get to work at 7 a.m. and watch – part of the game while I get ready for the day.
All right, good. Well, you'll be the most informed member of the Hoopheads podcast after you watch that game.
Now, that's my ambitious plan. I'm not saying that it's going to come to fruition, but that's my ambitious plan is to leave here and get to school by about 7:05, 7:10 when tip-off is happening, so I at least get 25 minutes of the game to watch.
Perfect.
So then I can dissect it for you later.
All right, very good. So by the time some of us may be listening to this, the game may be in the books by that point, but good luck to Team USA against France in their semifinal early tomorrow morning, and then we'll see how it goes from there. A couple other items quickly that we want to just talk about before we get off today. One, the NBA banned ninja-style headbands. Jason, now I know that you typically wear a ninja-style headband when you're playing, so is this ban going to affect you and your rec league play in any way?
No, so I was going to say, this is not going to affect my rec league. I will say, I am embarrassed to admit that when you said this, I thought you were talking about, like, the video game streamer. Like, he had a headband that said ninja on it, and you weren't allowed to wear it. I wasn't even thinking... The kung fu ninjas.
So I'm going to date myself here, although it's now relevant again with the latest Rambo movie that comes on. But I know when I was playing pickup basketball when I was a kid, that anybody who wore a headband that is the quote NBA ninja style headband that ties in the back, I just called them Rambo because that was the Rambo headband. So you might, NBA calls it ninja style. I call it Rambo style, but either way, that is banned. So Montrezl Harrell, Jimmy Butler.
There's one girl that would wear a ninja style headbands in my fourth grade class last year.
Did you ban them?
No. She's a baller though. She's going to be a good player, I think.
I'm pretty sure though that on the female side that I see women's players wearing those, or in girls basketball, I think you see those a lot more frequently.
I got to think that they're not going to ban them for the girls, because that's just going to open a whole can of worms, wouldn't you think?
I would not think they would be banned in the WNBA, but honestly, I don't know the answer to that. But anyway, the NBA banned them, so to all those who are wearing the ninja/Rambo-style headbands, you're out of luck. You have to go with the traditional Slick Watts headband style in order to be able to keep the sweat off your brow. Another item that came across the ticker, NBA related, is Steve Ballmer of the Clippers donated $100 million to the city of Inglewood. I'm not sure exactly what that donation is going to do to spruce up the city, but I know it's intended to be able to allow the Clippers to eventually build an arena in Inglewood, which they've been talking about, and they're currently a tenant in the Lakers building, the Staples Center. So with the amount of money that Ballmer has, I'm certain that $100 million was a drop in the bucket, and it's going to happen at some point here in the near future. I'd say within 5 years, the Clippers are going to have their own arena somewhere, probably most likely it looks like in Inglewood, California. So good for them.
Yeah, you got to imagine this was his, like, I'm going to give you money, now give me a stadium, right? I mean, it's essentially what you have to think, you know, quid pro quo situation going on. I think it's a smart point to do it too, with all the kind of the resurgence of the Clippers and with everything this season. It's definitely good PR, and I think it's a good move on their part. Here's the thing, Mike. If I'm Steve Ballmer, I gotta pounce now while the iron's hot, because you know in 2 years, who knows if Kawhi and Paul George are still gonna be on the Clippers? Because you look back at the Cavs, I mean, Gilbert went up through this whole renovation thing before LeBron left because he was afraid LeBron was gonna leave, and then who knows if he would have gotten the funding to renovate the Q at the time, now the Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Smoothie King Arena, I don't know. I think this is definitely a good idea by Steve Ballmer to kind of get out in front of this and try to pump it up so that they get this stadium done for them.
For sure, and the Clippers have the worst current probably stadium arrangement in the whole league, in that they don't have any control over. They're just basically paying rent to the Lakers. So not a good situation for them. Obviously, if they have their own building, then they can – generate more revenue. They can be in control of those revenue streams, and so it makes a ton of sense, especially again, like I said, with Ballmer's millions that he has, there's no doubt, well, I should say billions probably, there's no doubt that they're going to want to have their own arena, and that he's going to get it done probably sooner rather than later. So that is definitely coming down the pike. And then last thing, Michael Jordan donated $1 million in relief funds to the Bahamas. Now, you had a little bit of a cynical remark when I told you that the first
thing. Yeah, well, my remark was there are a lot of casinos in the Bahamas.
And I don't know. I can honestly say I've not been to the Bahamas. I'm sure that there probably was a casino somewhere there on the Bahamas. But again, we prayers out to everybody who was affected by Hurricane Dorian, obviously. And it's not really something that we want to joke around about. But to anybody out there who's been affected by it, certainly we wish you the best, and great thing by Michael Jordan of donating and trying to come to the aid of, you know, people who are severely in need.
I wonder if anyone called him out for only donating that much money, because I don't know if you saw, but like Disney donated $1 million. So there was all these people attacking him. Oh, Disney only donating $1 million. That's ridiculous. They're worth such and such billion. I'm like, they didn't have to donate anything.
Right.
I can't stand people that, you know, they're getting donations from a company that has really no affiliation with the Bahamas other than they're in Florida and it's kind of close to the Bahamas. I mean, realistically, that's really Disney's. I know they do their cruises and whatnot through there, so I'm sure that had some kind of reasoning. But at the same time, like, why are you going to attack a company for donating $1 million? They didn't have to do it. Like,
yeah. And again, at this point, any relief funds that can be directed to the Bahamas and other areas that have been affected by the hurricane, I'm sure are very much welcomed by the people who are trying to provide that relief, and ultimately by the people who were victims of that terrible natural disaster. So good job by Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And thanks out to Disney. And again, prayers are with everybody down there in the Bahamas. And then the last thing before we get out here locally in Cleveland, I just want to say our condolences to the family of Fred McLeod, the Cavs' longtime TV play-by-play announcer, who passed away today. And just pretty sudden. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And certainly a loss for the Cavaliers family. So our condolences to everyone who knew Fred and everyone who had the opportunity again to listen to him over the course of the last 15 years. And, you know, he was there with the championship team, and he was there in a lot of the down years too. So our condolences to his family, and, you know, we just not a situation that anybody, you know, anybody wants to see happen.
Yeah, definitely not. I'm, you know, he's a Stroudsville grad. Did you know that he's a Stroudsville grad, Mike?
I did know that.
Okay. But yeah, so I think it's, you know, it's definitely sad. I definitely, when I saw it, I was amazed. They came out, I don't know if you saw, it came out that he had a heart attack. But that was what was confirmed. But it's just kind of crazy to me. And obviously, he probably has the most iconic call in Cleveland sports history in the last 50 years. Obviously, when him and Austin Carr, because no one really, I mean, I know we have the Breen call and whatnot, but like locally speaking, you know, he has him and Austin Carr sitting there. And I'm just interested to see, you know, how they handle this, because you have to imagine that Austin Carr doesn't have many years left in his broadcasting career. I mean, I don't know what you think about that, but what the Cavs are going to do now, because I don't think you can bring Reggae back.
I think there's too many
bridges burned there, I think. You know, and obviously we don't even know what Gilbert's health status is because we haven't heard anything. I can't imagine that it's great, right?
I mean, no, I wouldn't think so. I mean, he hasn't really been in the public eye since the stroke. So, again, hopefully he's recovering and doing better, but we haven't seen him much publicly. So hard to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, and I put a tweet out there, and maybe I was kind of just thinking, I was like, what kind of deal do they have to make to get Allie Clifton to come back and be on the broadcast? Because I think that she would be – it's time. I think she deserves a chance. Now, I know she's got her cushy job with LeBron out in L.A., so I don't know that that would be something that she would be interested in doing. But, you know, she has expressed interest in doing play-by-play for a while, and I think she'd be good at it. Because every time that they had her doing the three-man or three-person booth, I guess I should say, I thought she did a really good job. Now, who knows what they're going to do, but, you know, that's where my head took me. I know, but obviously it's day one of this happening, so who knows if the Cavs probably haven't even thought about it yet, would be my guess.
Probably not. I think Allie would be, again, makes sense. She's been here before, knows the team, knows the organization, has relationships here, so it makes sense. But who knows? Again, our condolences to the McLeod family. Again, just a terrible situation, especially when it's so unexpected. So, again, our thoughts and prayers are with the McLeod family. And looking ahead to tomorrow morning's game between the USA and France, good luck to Team USA. We hope that they're able to pull through, get a victory. Hopefully you can get to school and get a chance to watch that game, Jay. And then we'll be back next Wednesday. We're getting closer and closer to our next NBA season. We're working on some special preview stuff that's going to come out in the weeks ahead. So Jason and I are very excited about that. So to everyone out there, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.